Number 109. Sometimes in life things get oddly quiet and still. But we want to lift up our minds to Jesus and his goodness, and we're living for him. Verse 4 says, Jesus, our only joy, be thou as thou our prize wilt be. Jesus, be thou our glory now and through eternity. So let's sing this song a bit slowly, but with delight and trusting his presence and his leading. And now let's sing, Arise, My Soul, Arise, Shake Off Thy Guilty Fear, number 347 in the Zion's Praises. Verse 4, My God is reconciled, His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for His child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry. Arise, my soul, arise. No.
Lord Jesus. Good afternoon and welcome to everyone here. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's lovely to see family and friends who are in prayer and support of the congregation, his work here, and the couples here that are in the lot. One day after an ordination service, a sad-faced woman came up to the front and greeted the new pastor, and she said, "It's a fine thing you're doing, giving up the joys of life to serve God." Well, I'm here to testify that serving God by serving this congregation is a blessing and a fulfillment and a challenge sometimes, but it's a blessing and a fulfillment. I want to read a few verses. You don't have to turn with them. I'm going to start with 1 Thessalonians 2:19 in the New American Standard Bible. It says, For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. And I think when God calls leaders, people that love God and are serving him are really a joy. And then the next chapter in verse 9, he says, "For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith." Paul was saying, we care a lot about you and we pray night and day and we persevere in prayer and many other things that he did for them too. And yet it was a joy to him. They brought joy to his heart. And there's this thing that I've discovered in my life is that sacrifice creates relationship. When I'm willing to sacrifice for someone, it builds my love for them. And it creates a virtuous cycle. For instance, why do I love my children? Well, one of the reasons is because I sacrifice for them. There are many other reasons, but that's one of the reasons. If I would never sacrifice for my children, my love would not be what it is. I sacrifice for them because I love them, and I love them more because I sacrifice for them. And I think that's true for everyone, but especially to you as you're in the lot and as God will call one of you today. Remember that. My wife's aunt, who has been a bishop's wife for many years, we were talking to her about this, and she said, when my husband was ordained, we discovered that it was far more challenging than we expected that it was going to be. But she said it was also far more fulfilling than we expected. And I have found that to be the truth. Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" And that's not drudgery. That is true freedom. When we love the people around us, love the people that God brought into our lives as ourselves. So the order of the service will be that we'll have the ordination very first, as we traditionally do. And then we'll have one song. And then Gerald Huss will be bringing the sermon this afternoon. And then I will close. And we'll ask Franz and Cleon to come up and get these books. And you can take them back to the coat room and take this paper inside this envelope, put it right inside the front cover of one of the books. Each of you mix them up until you don't know which is which. The other, mix it up until you don't know which is which. And be in prayer about for God to have his will. And then just bring them up and set them up here on the counter. And then we will let you brothers choose a book as the Spirit leads. So Franz and Cleon, could you come and do this? And I forgot to mention, of course, put these bands around the book just in identical ways so that they both look the same. And the congregation will be in prayer. Let's all kneel for prayer, and you brothers can pray as the Spirit leads, and then I will close. Let's pray.
Church, it's your people, And we just ask you to guide us today. May your will be done. And just pray that you would lead us for your glory and for the lifting up of your name and for your work to go forward. In Jesus' name.
Afternoon, we pray that the Spirit will direct and that this course will bring honor and glory to your name and be a blessing to the brethren and a blessing to the sister.
Father God, I thank you for leading us to this time, and I just ask that you would continue to lead and show us your will clearly, as you have so far, and that the brother and his family that you choose would have a special portion of your Holy Spirit, your blessing, your protection, your love, your enablement poured out on his life. And just pray that your blessing would be on this service, and that as we choose the lot, that as each brother chooses the lot, that your will would be accomplished, and your name would be glorified, and your kingdom would be built. In Jesus' name. Brothers may choose a book as the Spirit leads. Has been found in the book of Ed Landis. You may stand. Brother Ed, are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit give yourself to the work of the Lord as a faithful servant, fulfilling the work of a deacon in the Church of Christ in this local body? Are you willing to be an example to the congregation of the doctrines of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, to share them as far as the duties of the office of deacon shall require of you, and to faithfully abide in them until the end? Are you willing to serve this congregation and carry the responsibilities in accordance with the teachings and instructions of the New Testament and the counsels of the local brothers in Christ, subjecting yourself also to the other faithful brothers in the fear of the Lord, and in all things to show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord? Dear brother, you have been called and chosen to the responsibility of deacon in the Church of Jesus Christ. Upon this confession and these promises that you have made before God and these witnesses, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ, ordain you to the office of deacon. We charge you to, first of all, rule your own house well. It is your duty to serve the congregation with humility and an example of servant leadership. Be a faithful servant to the flock of God, that at the last you may also be received by the great shepherd of souls with, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." It will be your duty to receive and care for the charities of the church, to distribute them to the members who are needy according to their needs, to visit the sick, the widows, the orphans, and comfort them, praying with them in their afflictions, to assist the bishop in administration of baptism and communion, to bear testimony to the truth in public ministrations. And when the need arises, or when you are called upon, it shall be your duty to preach the word of God. When strife or difficulties arise between brothers, it will be your duty to do all possible to bring about the reconciliation and restore unity and peace. Be faithful to the Lord, and he will grant you wisdom and understanding from on high. May God anoint you with the Holy Ghost, give you grace, and bless you in all things through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. To him be glory through his church, now and forever. Amen. The ministry may come forward for a prayer of dedication. You two may kneel.
your trail. As we observe you working in and building your church, we rejoice. We rejoice to see you raising up men in this hard day to carry on the work of the church. Your body, your building will continue to grow and to thrive. Father, may this congregation support and be encouragement to this brother as he is called to this duty. And the grace he needs to function as you would desire him to.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing your will. We thank you, Father, for Ed and Ruth. We pray that you might bless them with strength and courage and wisdom as they fulfill this responsibility. We ask that you might bless them as they go on from here, that you might give them a portion, a double portion of your Spirit, so that they might be able to be an asset to your kingdom. And that we pray that we as a congregation would support them and help them, and that this experience will bring us all closer to you.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being our Father and our God, and thank you for Brother Ed and Sister Ruth. Pray you to bless them and pour out your Spirit on them and strengthen them, Lord, for the work, and just pray that you would be with them and give them wisdom and understanding, and that they could rest in you, in Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, I come before you, Lord, once again today, and thank you, God, so much for your faithfulness to us. Lord, I thank you for once again leading us so faithfully, Lord, so clearly. And God, we just thank you for the way that you care about each one of us and the details, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless Ruth, Ed and Ruth as they fulfill this calling, Lord, that you called them to. I just pray that you would fill them with your Spirit, give them strength and wisdom, Lord, just help them to seek you, and help us, Lord, to support them, Lord, and praying for them and praying for each other, Lord. And just help us to not become weary in serving. And Lord, I pray for Ruth as she walks by Ed's side, as she supports him as a wife. I just pray that you would bless her abundantly. And Lord, just bless the family as well. Lord, and again, I thank you for leading. Pray in Jesus' name.
Dear God, thank you for being here with us, for showing us your will, for ordaining another deacon for your work and for your kingdom. And I just pray that you would enable and fill and empower Ed and Ruth and bless their family, and that you would help them to be blessed and to be a blessing in this congregation and in your church broadly. I just want to thank you and pray your blessing on them, and pray that you would help us each to be faithful in praying for them, encouraging them, blessing them, and supporting them in whatever way we're able to do. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have a song, and then Gerald will bring the sermon.
Zion's Praises, number 461. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. So we want to wait patiently on the Lord, and we want to serve faithfully. Let's all sing this song with peace in our hearts. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Lo, lo.
Leave. greetings. Once again, in the name of Jesus, things have changed since the service this morning. It's a joy to see the church growing and the need for new leaders to be appointed in God's building program. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew again, Matthew chapter 24. This morning we looked at the church. This afternoon, the message is going to be focused maybe a little more on the one here that was ordained. Thank you, brother. But it's a message that I believe is for everyone, because after all, when we make the decision to join the family of Christ, we are servants of His, no matter what that position or that responsibility may be. The passage I want to look at this afternoon, Matthew chapter 4, 24, I want to start in verse 45. This is Jesus' discourse here with His disciples, coming up to the time of His arrest and His passion, and He has a lot of things to say to them. Verse 45 of Matthew 24, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We'd like to think about a servant. At an ordination, we often think about leaders, but I really appreciate your emphasis here at Shalom on this idea of servant leadership, because that's, in fact, what it is. We are servants. There's three things in this passage that, as we go through the message, I want to look at. I want to look at, first of all, the responsibilities that the servant is given, the warning that is given to the servant, and then the faithful servant's reward. Just a couple things before we go into these points, though, that I'd like to, some observations I'd like to make. Notice here in verse 45 that he is made ruler over his household to give them their meat in due season. This meat is food. But what I find it interesting, this is the same type of wording that is used if we go to Acts 20. When Paul gathers the elders of Ephesus together, and I can find Acts. And he's going to leave, and he's not expecting to see them again, and he gives them some instruction. Notice what he says. We have this idea of the servant being appointed to give them their meat in due season. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul tells the leaders, the elders of the church at Ephesus, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his blood." If we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, Peter tells us this, First Peter chapter 5. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when that chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This idea of feeding. Now, as a deacon, your responsibilities are a little different than the minister. When I was ordained minister, Brother Wilmer Martin said this. He said, you are to expound the Word of God. And you as a deacon will be doing some of that, but your feeding will be a little more the physical aspect. You will be making sure your congregation, they're more of their physical needs are supplied. But right along with that, there's always a spiritual aspect to that physical providing. And that's something that must not be forgotten in the performing of your duties. Even though you're performing a physical, providing for the physical need, the physical well-being, that spiritual aspect of that must not be forgotten, must not be laid aside. The other thing that I find interesting wording here, this Lord, this servant was made ruler over his household. If you go back to Acts and 1 Peter, it has that same rule. You were made overseers. You were made, you were put in place to oversee the family, the building, the body of God. I didn't see any campaign signs here coming in. There were no calls for donations. This was not something that you were looking for. This is something that God has called you to and placed you in this position. It gives you the authority to carry out your responsibilities, and it also gives you the responsibility to be faithful in those responsibilities. Now, these three things, the servant leader's responsibility, the warning to the servant, and then the reward. The leader's responsibility we see here is one of care and providing. He's appointed to give them their meat. The overseers were appointed, they were to feed the flock. Jesus talks about the rulers of the world, how the rulers, they lord it over those they rule. And a lot of, down through history, as we look at the history of the world, the people that were ruled were there mainly for the benefit of the ruler. And we see that in Solomon. The children of Israel rebelled because they were being oppressed for Solomon's gain. May it never be so among the church of God, in the church of God. In fact, it must be the opposite. There's the leader gives himself and sacrifices himself for the good and the well-being of his people. Whether you're a deacon, a bishop, or a minister, I believe, like I said, we're talking about servants. And whether you're just a father, whether you're a school teacher, I believe these things can apply to every one of us. Right now, we're focused more on the brother here that was ordained. The responsibility of the leader is care and providing. It's a position of giving and not getting. Sacrifice and not receiving. And giving of yourself, your time, your resources for the good and the well-being of your flock. This takes time and commitment. It requires sacrifice. What else does the leader do? If we go back to Ephesians, no, I'm sorry, that was Acts. We weren't in Ephesians. Go back to Acts and we'll read further. In Acts, we read verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock of God. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you, night and day with tears. The leader's responsibility, the servant's responsibility is to watch. We watch against sickness, against weakness in the flock. We watch against heresies and heretics in the flock. We protect the flock against those that come in trying to harm the flock. That's a responsibility of the servant. The other thing I wanted to point out in going back a little bit to this idea that you were made, you were put in here by God. And this is vitally important that both you and your congregation believe this and accept this. Because there's going to come time in your ministry where things get rough, there's disappointments, and you may wonder, was this right? Was everything right? And you must believe that God put you here. The congregation must believe and accept this. An act of God building his kingdom, and therefore this leader, whether I agree with everything he does or says, I respect him for the position that God put him in. You were put here by God. Moving back to 1 Peter, I think there was something else there that I wanted to bring out. The church leader's job, or the leader or the servant's job, does not end Sunday morning after he's had the sermon or whatever he does. But the work of this servant is one that it's a 24/7 job. Whether we're praying about or responsibility, whether we're carrying out our responsibility, it's a job that we pretty much never ends. And we need to be willing to make the sacrifices that are needed. Because I would very much echo Brother Darrell's thought that, yes, there are sacrifices, but I have found that it's a very fulfilling thing. Somehow, I think God does a work in a man's heart when he accepts his calling, and he begins to, that becomes your identity, and there's great fulfillment in serving where God has called you. When I was first ordained, my neighbor, who was an Amish deacon, he said, you can either grit your teeth and just accept it because you don't have a choice, or you can accept it and put yourself into it, and life will be a lot easier, and you'll get a lot more out of it and enjoy your ministry. But it can be a fulfilling ministry despite the hardships and the challenges. Now, I'd like to look at the warning here. The warning to the servant who misuses or neglects his responsibilities. There's two different things happening here as I see it, and maybe I'm kind of pulling it apart where it shouldn't be, but I see two types of servants, and I believe we can see these in church leadership as well. And probably each one of us would know, could say, yeah, this is my struggle here. And maybe another brother struggles with this. But I see the one servant who abuses his authority for his own agenda. He says, and I know I'm switching the order here because I want to end on a positive note in my sermon. Jesus here, he ends his discourse with a warning, but we're going to talk about the warning first, and then we're going to end on the blessings. But notice what he says. The first servant is one who abuses his authority for the sake of his own. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. He's got an agenda, and he's forcing his fellow servants, those under his care, to to bend and to capitulate to his agenda. He lacks the respect of his fellow servants. He lacks love for his fellow servants. And it's a terrible thing. And there's too much of that we know of that happens in our churches. The other side of this is the one who neglects his responsibilities. We have the one who smites his servants, lords it over them, lords his authority over them. And then we have the one who he eats and he drinks with the drunken. He's the one who he'd rather spend time with the pleasures of this life, pursuing the things he enjoys, and his ministry comes in second. It's often neglected until the last minute. Often when he's carrying out his responsibilities, he's often not in a proper frame of mind to do what he should be doing, whether he's giving advice or admonition. His sermons are shallow, rarely going below surface level, and he brings shame and disrepute to himself and to the church of God. Now, these are two different sides of the same ditch. And like I said, maybe you can identify your weakness. Some of us have this weakness that we tend to maybe be too authoritative. Some of us have the weakness that we're just as quick to sit back and, you know, kind of let things happen. The results of these two are the same. The results are a broken, sickly, malnourished flock, one that's bitter, one that distrusts authority, and it makes it difficult for those that are doing their job to the best of their ability because of the reputation that they have made for those in authority. There are two different things, but the results are the same. Destruction and a flock that is broken and shattered. Spiritual lives that are lost and embittered because of a leader that either was abusive or was neglectful as he carried out his responsibilities. Our responsibilities must be carried out with love and with prayer and with the power of God. I like to think about the the condemnation and punishment for the servant is, again, the result of these two. Not only is the flock broken and shattered and adrift in the sea of despair, but the servant receives his just punishment. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If the leader, the shepherd leader of the flock, is not prepared for his master's return, how do we expect the flock to be prepared for the master's return? Woe unto that servant who, when his Lord's return, finds his sheep sickly, lame, malnourished, abused. Not only will this unfaithful shepherd give account for himself and his unfaithfulness, his disobedience, but he will also give account for the state of the flock. Paul tells us that we are supposed to obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. We as servants, as leaders, are going to give account for the condition of our flock. And we might think, well, you know, we're limited in what we can actually do. It's between the sheep and God, but we are responsible. And as we feed our flock nutritious food from the Word of God, we will have a healthy flock. Then I'd like to look at the reward of the servant here for a little bit. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. What are some of the blessings that a servant receives as he performs his duties to the best of his ability? Well, first of all, we receive a direct, deliberate blessing from God. Blessed is that servant. And that blessing can take a lot of different forms. First of all, we receive greater responsibility. Maybe in some ways you say, well, how's that a blessing? What we have is enough. But I think this is something that will be something that we will enjoy. God intends it to be a reward for our faithful service. 2 Timothy 4. First Timothy. Another reward that the servant has, we find here. Paul is talking to Timothy. He's coming to the end of his ministry, and he says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. One blessing the faithful servant receives is the knowledge of knowing that he has done his best. He has performed his duties that God has given him to the best of his abilities, and the contentment and the peace that goes along with that. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. And I don't know what these crowns consist of, but the servant of God, whether it's a servant in the church or whatever it may be, when he is faithful in his duties, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting him. Jesus told that group of faithful servants, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The other blessing the faithful servant receives is joy. In that verse I quoted from Ephesians, we must give account, and Paul's admonition there was that we may do it with joy. And I understand Paul was talking to the flock and telling them how to respond. But when a leader can look at his flock and give a joyful account of their condition before his master, what greater joy is there than that, being able to do that? And so, brother, as you take your responsibilities, I'd just like to call God's blessing upon you. Be faithful. The rewards for faithfulness are tremendous, both in this life and in the one to come. Rewards in the next life are ones that we cannot even fathom. Paul said the rewards are the trials and struggles of this life are nothing compared to the rewards in heaven. And just a word to you as a congregation, as you relate to your brother, support him, encourage him. Remember we said he was put there by God. Believe that. Believe that with all your heart. When things are rough, when you're tempted to maybe criticize him, tempted to talk to others about things you don't appreciate about him, remember that he was God's servant. And remember, David would not harm Saul because he could not touch Saul's anointed. That should be your attitude toward the brother. Support him. You know, when a brother, a leader in the church, if he's doing his work well, there's going to be times when he can't do the things that earn him the financial gain that he normally would be doing. He's going to have to spend some time off of work doing things for the church. And you will never know what it means when you go to the mailbox and you pull an envelope out with a note in it of appreciation and maybe a check or even just a $50 bill. You'll never, never know what that means. Not that the money so much, but the fact that someone appreciated you enough to write you a note and to give you a little something for the time and the effort you put in to your responsibilities. So I'd like to encourage you as a congregation, pray for your brother. Remember, he is human. Don't expect him to be perfect. You wouldn't appreciate if he expected you to be perfect. So don't expect him to be perfect. And when there's things in his life you don't appreciate, take it to the Lord, pray for him, and support him, and encourage him to the best of your ability. God bless you all.